We are talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherlode Views, getting an update on issues in Washington, D.C. Congressman, as we ended the first segment, you were talking about some fire legislation. You mentioned there were several pieces of legislation you were looking at. Can you share some details on other bills that you're planning to propose?
Well, the other one I'm very excited about expands on a bill that I actually had signed into law as part of the WIN Act in 2016. That bill granted a categorical exclusion from the National Environmental Policy Act for forest thinning projects under 10,000 acres. Unfortunately, we had to limit that to the Tahoe Basin because of leftist opposition in the Senate. But we did get it in the law for the Tahoe Basin, and it has worked. It's taken the environmental review process for a forest thinning project from more than 4 years down to less than 4 months. The environmental impact report that's required to do a forest thinning project has gone from 800 pages down to a dozen or so. And that authority was used very successfully. It's what kept South Lake Tahoe from burning during last year's Caldor fire. When the Caldor fire hit the 10,000-acre treated section under the authority of this bill, the fire laid down. They were able to stop it and put it out before it overtook South Lake Tahoe. We need to get that same authority throughout the U.S. forest system. That's the way we used to do it. We used to send foresters into the forest every year. They would mark off surplus timber. We would then auction that timber off to logging companies who would pay us to take out that excess timber. 25% of those revenues from the federal timber auctions went directly to local governments in the affected areas. The other 75% went to the Forest Service, and we put that back into forest management. Unfortunately, these environmental laws like NEPA now require so much time and expense to do all of these environmental studies, millions and millions of dollars are worth. That's more than the value of the timber we used to auction off. So instead of making money from timber auctions, it costs us money to do a timber auction, so not a lot of it gets done. We need to change that. We had a system that worked extremely well. We had not only resilient, healthy forests, we had thriving local economies from a very active timber commerce.
That Tahoe effort that you mentioned and the hopes to expand it to other areas, has that project received support from people like Dianne Feinstein or Alex Padilla in the Senate?
We're approaching Dianne Feinstein to see if she can give us a hand. She's been very, very cooperative and supportive of this kind of approach. Padilla, not so much.
You know, are you concerned looking ahead to the summer fire season after seeing what happened last year across the western states?
Oh, of course. Again, what we're seeing is what... Before we formed the Forest Service, we used to lose between 4 and 12 million acres a year to catastrophic fire in California. In fact, when Juan Cabrillo dropped anchor in the Santa Monica Bay, it was October 1542. That's the height of the Santa Ana fire season. First European to ever set his eyes on the coast of California promptly named the Santa Monica Bay the Bay of Smoke. That's, as I said earlier, that's how nature gardens. When we hired the Forest Service to do the gardening, to take out the excess timber before it could burn, we dropped the acreage destroyed by catastrophic fire from between 4 and 12 million acres a year down to a quarter million acres a year. We lost about 4 million, and then we passed the laws that made forest management impossible. We're now back up to 4 to 5 million acres a year lost to catastrophic fire. That's not a new normal. That is the old normal coming back because we abandon our forests because of these laws that make the scientific management of our forests impossible.
You know, shifting over to the other natural resource, big conversation, water. Is there much in the House Natural Resources Committee right now to address that issue?
Not that's moving, but there will be. I can assure you this next session. I chaired the Water and Power Subcommittee for 4 years when Republicans had the majority, and I'll tell you what I learned. Droughts are nature's fault. They happen. But water shortages, that is a deliberate choice that we made with the same environmental laws in the 1970s, the same laws that make it financially impossible for us to manage our forests also make it financially impossible to build new reservoirs. We haven't had a major reservoir built in California, over a million acre feet, since the New Melones in 1979. During the intervening time, the population has more than doubled. We have been taught this lesson, you would think, time and time by nature. You know, remember, a few years back, we had 4 years of historic drought. our reservoirs were drained to near Deadpool levels. Another year and they would have been dry. And then we had 2 years of record rainfall. We had to open up the floodgates of those very same dams and lose billions of gallons to the Pacific Ocean because we had no place to store that surplus water. We are not going to solve our water shortages until we build more dams. We're not going to build more dams until we repeal the environmental laws that have made their construction impossible. It's not all that complicated. One of the provisions that I was actually able to get passed out of the House in the 115th Congress, the last Congress when the Republicans were in the majority, was a one-stop shop for new dam construction. It required all federal permits to run concurrently rather than consecutively, so they're all done at the same time. It put the Bureau of Reclamation in charge of coordinating those permits and required them to take action within a certain period of time. That would break the logjam on new dam construction. We got it out of the House of Representatives. We couldn't get it through the Senate. But I'll be trying again. I am trying again this session, but I think next session we'll actually be able to get it passed.
I remember during the last drought, you were very vocal about the pulse flows out of New Maloney's Reservoir when the reservoir was getting so low. Do you know at this point, are those levels, are those pulse flows still taking place at the same level?
I don't know the current status of the pulse flows there.
Okay. Imagine that's still
a
concern.
The pulse flows are normally done in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherlode Views. You know, I'm curious just your thoughts, too, about the first couple of years of President Biden's administration. You've mentioned some concerns. How would you grade how he's done so far in the first 2 years?
Catastrophic. It's absolutely catastrophic. Look at the price of gasoline. Look, go to the grocery store. Look at the impact of this reckless spending and monetary policy we've seen under this administration. Then look at the collapse of our southern border. My God, 2 million illegal immigrants encountered by Customs and Border Patrol this past year under this administration's open border policies, 2 to 3 times what we've seen in the past. More than 1 million actually being admitted into the interior. And that doesn't include the 400,000 to 500,000 gotaways that are able to evade encounters because the Border Patrol is so completely overwhelmed by the migrant crossings of families, and so-called family units. So you've got roughly, just since this administration took office, they have admitted a population the size of Montana and Wyoming combined. So they've admitted basically the populations of two entire states without vetting, every one of them having entered our country illegally, and they've allowed them into the United States. And we're going to be seeing that in so many different ways. I've made a number of trips to the border, and every time a Border Patrol official warned, every community in America is now a border community because the Biden administration is moving these people rapidly throughout the country. Now, you explain to me how working class wages are going to be helped by flooding the market with cheap foreign illegal immigrant labor. Explain to me how hospitals are going to become more accessible by packing our emergency rooms with illegals seeking basic care. How are our schools going to be helped by packing our classrooms with non-English speaking students? And how is the security, the safety of our community going to be helped by making it virtually impossible to deport criminal illegal aliens? In fact, deportations are at their lowest point ever recorded under this administration. They're simply refusing to secure our borders, refusing to enforce our immigration laws, and worse than that, actively aiding and abetting what has become an historic mass migration on a scale that no society has ever survived.
We need to take one more break. We're talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.